Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. We meditate this morning on the second of the servant songs, this one from Isaiah 49, verses 13 through 18. Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains! For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your sons hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your sons gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Shine, Lord Jesus, shine in all your glory and splendor in our hearts, and through us, light up your world. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, God's shining epiphany light, dear children of the Heavenly Father. It used to be cool in school, in grade school, middle school, to say, forget you. Ever hear that before? You maybe said something somebody didn't like and they, forget you. Nobody ever did as far as I can remember. Because when you're in school with people and you're seeing them every day, little hard to actually forget someone. But now that all those friends have come and gone, you may very well feel forgotten, left behind. And worst of all, sometimes all of us at one time or another feel as if God has forgotten us. Probably one of the worst feelings the human heart can have is to feel as if God has forgotten you. But if you take all those nasty things that adults and children say and turn them all around, that's God's message of comfort and hope to you and me today. I will not forget you. I will not forget you, and just in case somebody might think it's a throwaway line like, take care or be well, the Lord is going to detail what he means by this. I will not forget you. You are eternally engraved in compassion. Beautifully, brilliantly, precious ornaments of God. Ornaments of God who says, I will not forget you. Jesus had a job to do. It would start in the Jordan River with John, his cousin. He needed to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness as the first of those who would, in the Christian church of the New Testament, be covered with the righteousness of God in Christ that by faith had covered the ancient believers back to the time of Adam and Eve. Everyone who's been saved is saved by the same faith in the same Jesus. But here he's beginning his earthly ministry in a very visible way, the Word of God incarnate in that river, and the Holy Spirit coming down as the sign for John that that's the one, the Lamb of God, that would take away the sin of the world. And that voice of the Father from heaven, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We will follow Jesus in this ministry that begins in the Jordan River when Jesus is about 30 years old and goes step by step to that bloody cross. We're about to see in the coming weeks of Lent, as we follow our Savior in his passion, why he needed the Father to say that, to speak his pleasure on one who would die as the worst criminal to be the Savior of a world of criminals, sinners like us. We will follow Jesus all the way to his triumph at Easter. But you know it didn't begin there. Jesus' work as our Savior actually began in all eternity. Not that you can put a time stamp on that. But in Psalm 2, it says that the first person of the Trinity spoke to the second person of the Trinity as they've revealed himself. And the one said to the other, "You are my Son. Today I have become your Father, begotten from all eternity in a way far beyond our understanding." And the Holy Spirit took that declaration through time in the first promise to Adam and Eve in the garden, and increasing details through the prophets, all the way down to these servant songs in Isaiah, where we have the Messiah, four different places in Isaiah, pointed to as the suffering servant of the Lord who would shine forth in God's good pleasure to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. He speaks to all creation, this God who so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He tells all of what we would call nature what to do with this. In the opening verse of our text from Isaiah 49, verse 13, he says, "Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains! For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." In his letter to the Romans, Paul pictures nature or creation like a child standing on tiptoe, looking hard for a coming parade. So creation, which has been in the pains of childbirth from the very beginning, travailing for the sons of God to be revealed. That's how nature, God's creation, looks for the day when finally this will all come true in its fullness, that God will have compassion on his people, compassion on his afflicted ones. Compassion because sometimes you just don't feel that way. As I grow older as a Christian, I realize more and more that there are just times when my feelings need to catch up with my faith. You ever think about that? Your feelings, you know, on certain days are just all messed up. But your faith is there, and your feelings need to catch up with your faith at all ages in life. And don't you find that sometimes the feelings are the worst after the best times? Because after an emotional high, sometimes your emotions get wrecked real quickly. You come down quicker than you went up. Take, for instance, having a long weekend. Great to look forward to. But oh, the first day back when everybody at school or work is cranky. The students going back to school about this time of year have all these bleak winter months when they get really sick and tired of seeing each other in the dormitory. Tough. It's a hard time for everybody. You don't realize till you look back on it later that everybody has that time, no matter who you are or when. And no matter, the higher the fun, the better the getaway weekend with the family, the more irritating it is to come home to the suffocation of all your mail. Right? And find one bill in there that maybe should have been paid a few days ago, puts you right over the edge. And isn't it true for married couples too, that your warmest, most wonderful moments together can sometimes so quickly turn around with the sin of our souls and our mouths, a few careless words, and suddenly broken hearts are asking, "What about us? What about me?" We feel like this, especially after the high emotional times. When Zion, God's people, said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." And it's in our songs too, if you can think back as far as the old country song of John Denver, Leaving on a Jet Plane, you remember it? Think back now. Why do we always fight when I have to go? Sometimes it's because we feel that God has forsaken us, that the Lord has left us alone. And it's very hard to deal with. In our day and age, we live in a very forgetful society. We want to forget things. Forget you means something when it comes to our responsibility as parents in our American society. We often, in our pursuit of pleasure, want to cover up what we call the products of conception. We want to forget that that's a baby by calling it a fetus. And so we do, and the law protects us. And the Lord has to answer us in a very realistic way. A way that spoke to those people back then, because there's nothing new under the sun. And the Israelites were warned about this attitude all the way through their prophets. Remember Moses going back to him, warning the people, when you come into the promised land, cities you didn't build, fields you didn't plant, don't forget who gave them to you. Don't think that you built your own wealth and that you caused this to happen. The Lord warns them about thinking that by worshiping the idols, they can become fertile and make their lands fertile. Those were the fertility cults of Baal. And in our day and age, it's not Baal by name anymore. It's the idols of convenience. So the Lord speaks to us where we are, right to our human hearts, when he asks this question: can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Does that sound kind of painful? Any of you have an engraver at home? About this long, plug it in. Pretty loud, most of them. They just vibrate real fast with a diamond tip. Take your engraver sometime or somebody else's and just stick it right into the palm of your hand and see how hard and long you can push. Bloody mess. Especially when the Lord engraved us on the palms of his hands with Roman spikes and a sledgehammer. And wounds that will never be forgotten, because the resurrected Son of God still holds them in his hands. The trophies of our salvation, where his love held him to the cross, not the Roman nails, but his love. And those trophies are still there. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. I will not forget you. This is an eternal love of God that was his choice, his thought, his doing, all the way back to eternity and stretching all the way into eternity for all of those who will just believe him. Just trust that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That the only thing God will ever forget, and he's absolutely adamant about this, the one thing about God that God will forget about us, absolutely for sure and for all eternity, is our sin. He says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more, because they've been washed away in the blood of God's own Son, and to recall those sins would dishonor the Son in whom the Lord is well pleased. Never remember the sin, and never forget you. I will not forget you. You are engraved in compassion. You are ornaments of God's grace. Have you ever seen parents trying to live through their children? It's not always a pretty sight. Hockey rinks and basketball courts are pretty pathetic these days, with certain individual parents, dads in particular, that seem just determined to live through whoever is out there on the floor, and it doesn't even seem to register with them when the refs throw them out of the game for unsportsmanlike conduct. They got to live through their children. And if you look at it, it's not for their children. It's more like the life of a leech that attaches onto something else in order to fill that empty spot in the heart with something that can never really fill it. We parents can be very selfish sometimes, because how is it helping the child if we're up there making a spectacle and embarrassing friends, family, and the child in particular? Yeah, that's my dad. God isn't like that. The love that we learn from the Heavenly Father and this Son in whom He is well pleased is a love that is so unselfish, so wonderful and kind, that it gathers in all the hopes and dreams that the human heart could ever have, that we have in our hearts and our needs, and the needs of our children as well. Children that belong to us, whether biologically in a family or spiritually in a Christian congregation like this. They're God's children. They're our children. And the way God tells the story, they're ornaments of God's grace. Your sons hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. God had promised the destruction of the land and the cities if they did not repent and follow the Lord. But still in the prophets, He's trying to call them back as He's calling us back. Your sons hasten back. They hurry back to the Lord. Lift up your eyes and look around, He says. All your sons gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. God, who created us, is proud of His children through us and the children of His congregation. He is so intent on this that when His disciples tried to keep the little ones away from the Lord, who was tired and weary, the Lord Jesus rebuked His disciples and said, "Let the little children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Instead of expecting the children to be like the adults with some kind of decision for Christ or what some call a born-again experience, what's supposed to be the other way around, Jesus said, "Unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." To receive the kingdom of God like a little child, in another way, you can picture it as taking a child up in your arms and holding that child close. How hard was that? That's how the Lord wants us to receive His kingdom, with the faith of a child. Because Christ died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. With the faith of a child to follow the Son of God in whom He is well pleased through His bloody passion to the glorious resurrection. With the faith of a child to see the sons coming back as surely as the Lord lives, to wear them all as ornaments like a bride who puts on that beautiful necklace. That's what you have in your baptism. Not just the children, but you and me as children of God. Did you ever think of yourself as God's jewelry? And so precious as a bride putting on that jewelry on the wedding day that she is looking forward to as the best day of her life? She puts on the most beautiful jewelry, and not as the Hollywood elite with rented trinkets on the red carpet, bragging about who has the most beautiful dress or the most beautiful jewelry. This jewelry was purchased with a price far beyond all the gold and silver and jewels of this world. With the blood of God's own Son, you are the jewelry of God. And He puts us on like the ornaments of a bride with that intention and that love in our baptism so that we are connected to Jesus Christ. You are hung like jewelry around the Lord's neck, like a beautiful gold pendant on a pearl necklace made up of the good deeds and the righteousness of Jesus Christ that shines in your love, reflected there in deeds of love for your neighbor, for your children. Let it show in the way you pray, not for self, but for others. Let it show in the way you live and shine. that you believe, that you trust, that you find comfort in this. God says, I will not forget you. Let us never forget him. Amen. Please rise.